I'm Joyce Meyer, and I believe that God can heal you everywhere you hurt.
Are you perhaps feeling just a little bit lost or maybe in need of a reset? Well, we have just the thing. Today's show from our Talk It Out podcast will answer some of the big questions that we as women ask. And the answers will hopefully bring clarity and empower you to become the person God created you to be. Watch this. Hi, everyone. Come on in here. We are going to talk it out. This is where my friends and I get real about life and God's word. And I'll tell you, you'll hear stuff here that you may not hear anywhere else. So we're so glad that you are one of our group. I'm Ginger Stocky with Erin Cluley, Joyce Meyer, and today we have a special guest, Lisa Bevere.
Yay. I'm so thrilled to be here.
Lisa.
I'm so excited to have you.
We love Lisa.
Thank you so much. We
love
do.
You guys.
Lisa, if you're not familiar with her, which I'm pretty sure you are, but she is a best-selling author. She is a mom and a grandma, a very well-known speaker. She and her husband, John, have Messenger International Ministries and just doing so much good around the world, sharing the truth. And we're just so grateful for your voice that is so needed today.
Lisa, of all the books that you've written, if people wanted to go get one, which one would you recommend?
I think I would recommend Girls with Swords. I feel like we are in a spiritual battle right now, and they need the Word of God.
So you got that, Girls with Swords.
That's good.
There you go. It's intense.
Yeah. Well, so today, what we are going to do is going to be so fun. Many of you on social media sent in some great questions. If you remember, we did this on another episode where we talked with Lisa Harper and Joyce about life's hard questions. This time we're doing it with Lisa and Joyce.
This will be different.
Yes, specifically about those questions that are the big questions for women. Mm-hmm. And we are all facing so much in life today. And, you know, women always have, but there are some big questions that need to be answered. And some of them are happening all the time. And some of them pop up as culture
and
changes.
And I'll warn you, if I don't know the answer, I'm going to go.
Okay. All right. And I will be honest. If I don't know the answer, I'll say, I don't know.
Then we'll give it to Ginger.
Yeah, there you go.
And I will make something up. And then everybody's like, what?
People are turning off their TV right now. They're like, nope, don't need it.
All the questions on the list are from me, so appreciate your answers.
I am in faith that we can answer
them. Yes.
I have great confidence. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with a little clip from Joyce talking about what it was like years ago when she was one of the very first women teaching in a world of men teachers.
2 Timothy 3:12, I love this one. Indeed, all who delight in piety and are determined to live a devoted and a godly life in Christ Jesus will meet with persecution, will be made to suffer because of their religious stand. Now, let me tell you something. You can get out in the world and be a carnal Christian, and you won't get much opposition. In other words, you can live like, you can behave like everybody else, go to church on Sunday, get out, behave like everybody else, go to church on Sunday, and you're not going to get a lot of opposition. But when you start taking a stand, when you start living a godly life, people are going to get convicted by your life, and they're not going to like it, so they're going to come against you. When God called me to teach the word, I was in a religious denomination that did not believe that a woman could do this. And I didn't know that. So I was kind of already doing it when they told me I couldn't. And I got asked to leave my church. I got what's called the left foot of fellowship. And our whole life revolved around that church. I don't even know how to begin to tell you how hard that was for me, the pain that I had in my soul, because I just felt like I was just trying to do the right thing and obey God. Now, all of a sudden, I've lost almost all my friends. Family members turned. I mean, everybody thought that I had gone stark, raving mad. But you know what? I believe that sometimes God will use one person to blaze a trail for other people that are going to come behind. I think of the few women who ever really did anything great, Amy Semple McPherson, Catherine Kuhlman. When I started doing what I'm doing, there were a handful of women, but there was nothing compared to the army of women that God is using today. And so what if God causes you to be a trailblazer? You know, the first one who does anything, you can bet you're going to get opposition. Even people who created antibiotics, they got all kinds of opposition. The light bulb, anytime you try to do anything good, even stuff that's going to help people, the devil has a fit. You know why? Here's why. He despises progress. Any kind of progress. You join a weekly Bible study. You'll get some opposition from somewhere. Something will come along. I remember when I first started really dedicating myself to spending time with God every morning. I had kids by then that were a teenager. And every morning I would go up to my room and I didn't cook breakfast. I went to my room. I studied. I prayed. I sought God. And I remember one of my kids complaining about one. Well, can't you come out of that room once in a while? Can you come down here and make some breakfast? I said, listen, you better thank God I'm in this room. Your life is going to be a lot better if Mama goes to her room.
That is so true. And this is one of the big questions for women. It's like, what am I called to do? What am I allowed to do? Where do I have to step mm-hmm. back and where should I step forward? And you did face a lot of opposition. And there are a lot of women who, whatever they're doing right now, they may be facing the same thing. Things have changed, but there's still a lot out there of questions.
You know, I'd like to say something about that. What is God's will for my life? What am I supposed to do? As you know, I just wrote a book called What is God's Will for My Life? But I wanted to write it because I think people really, they worry too much about what God wants them to do. Mm-hmm. And what I recommend is tell God that you're willing. I remember one time in a church service years ago, I said, here am I, send me. And I meant it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I ever really said anything after that for years. And when God called me to teach, I wasn't looking for a ministry. Mm-hmm. I was making my bed. Mm-hmm. And so if you are willing to be used by God in whatever he chooses for you, he will let you know what it is and when the time is right.
So it was just out of the blue when you were doing a mundane daily thing, making your bed.
I was making my bed, listening to the first teaching cassette tape I'd ever heard, and I was just so moved by the fact mm-hmm. that somebody could preach on one scripture for an hour. I was like, my gosh, and keep my interest. When it was over, I heard God, however people want to think they hear God.
Yeah.
I knew God said, you are going to go all over the world and teach my word. Hmm. And from that moment on, I've never had anything but a desire to do that.
Hmm.
So when God calls you to do something, he's not going to call you to do something you hate. Hmm. He's not going to call you to do something that you don't have the ability to do, that you're struggling with all the time. He's not going to call you to do something and not give you the finances to do it. Mm-hmm. Now, there will be challenges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There will be opposition. But the things that you have to have, God will provide them, including a grace on your family for you to do what he's called you to do.
Yeah.
Every time you answer that question, it's directly to me. And I obviously other people want to know it too. I think there's so much pressure we put on ourselves as women to know this is what I'm supposed to do and I need to do it right and I need to do it perfectly. And so if I don't know, I'm going to miss it. And last night I was reading the Bible with Caden. He's my 8-year-old son. And so we were reading in Genesis 1 and God's creating all this stuff. And he says, Mom, why did God create the stars? And I don't know. Science, all that. Well, I don't remember. I was like, I don't know, buddy. But when you go to science class, they're going to tell you what they do. Well, ask Dad. But I said, what you're going to start learning is that everything that God creates has a purpose to it. And so when you hear that, when a teacher tells you, here's what this thing does in creation, it's because God gave it that purpose for a reason to do something. And it makes me think the same thing. Like if he created me too, mm-hmm. he's got a purpose in me and I don't have to work so hard to figure it out.
And God's created a lot of things for his own pleasure. I was taking a walk one day, and I was off of the beaten path, and there was this beautiful flower that was growing up between these two rocks. Mm. And I thought, now, Lord, why did you put that there where nobody's going to see it? And he said, I see it.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
So that's a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I mean, God's created you for his pleasure.
Yeah.
It's not God doesn't create us for what we do.
Yeah, that's right.
We get too caught up in what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, that's so
good. And we forget about just being God's child and that he loves us for us and that if we never do anything, he loves us.
So for women, it's so often those questions of, I have to get married. I have to have children. I have to be the perfect wife and and I have to, you know, find out what my purpose is and maybe have the right job. I mean, there's just so much pressure that we put on ourselves. I don't think it's that God puts on us, but that we do put on each other. And especially
and
with
people
comparison.
People put it on you too.
Right.
Yeah, people put it on you also.
Yeah.
You mean you don't have kids? Mm-hmm. You mean you're...
You're still single.
You're 40 and you're not married.
Mm-hmm. So how do you answer those questions? Lisa, how do you answer those questions of women of like, don't I have to do all these things?
Well, okay, well, and going back to what you guys were talking about a little bit earlier, I do feel that there's a lot of people that are frozen right now, that they're trying to figure it all out. And I love what you said. You just were in a service and said, I'm here.
Yeah.
Send me. And because you had the right posture, you were able to move forward when doors open. I had a really interesting experience a few years back. I happened to go to the spa. My friend's husband thought he was getting a massage. And his wife was like, you're getting a facial. And he was like, I actually don't want a facial. And I was like, I do. I was just sitting there going, I do. I've slept on my makeup for 2 weeks. And he was like, you may have my facial. I was like, that was Jesus. So I walk into this waiting area and this young girl walks in. She takes one look at me and starts crying. And I'm thinking, is this one of my son's ex-girlfriends? Like, what is, like, how do we know each other? And she opens up her arms, Joyce, and she has a copy of my book in her hands. Mm. And so I sit down with her and she starts saying all these things. Mm-hmm. I'm so afraid I'm going to miss God. I just got married. We just moved. I've left everything I know, you know, kind of like what you did with going to, she said, I've moved from Dallas to Houston, which could be depressing. And like all of these different things. And she's just agonizing. And I was like, if I had a dollar for every time I have ever heard a pure-hearted woman say, I'm so afraid I'm going to miss God. I'm going to make a mistake. Well, I'm here to tell you, you are going to make a mistake. Mm. But it's really hard to miss God because he's a really big target.
Right.
And the only way we miss him is if we don't move. If we don't aim, we don't shoot, we don't take that step, we don't go to the Bible study, we don't talk to our son, we don't sit in a church service and just say this. And I think there's a whole generation making it so hard, so hard, when God's like, just take the first step. Yeah. And if you're going the wrong way, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it, not sit until I tell you to get up and move.
Yeah.
One time God was trying to get me to do something, and I was like, oh, God, what if I miss you? What if I miss you? What if I miss you? And I'll never forget. He said, if you miss me, I'll find you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean—
I'll get you back on the right track.
Everything says that there's a God.
It's all about your heart. You know, if your heart's right, then that— you don't have to worry about anything else. It's like, just live your life, enjoy your life. We forget that God wants us to live and enjoy and be happy and be content. And the first thing you have to learn to do that is that you do not have to be like anybody else. Like Ginger doesn't cook. Her husband does all the cooking.
Not a lick. And it is better for the world that I don't. It keeps people out of the hospital. It keeps fires from happening.
My husband, if he has a button come off his shirt, he sews it on himself.
Know your strengths.
We're all different.
I don't do that.
We're all different for very good reasons.
I used to be able to cook. I cooked three meals a day for a lot of years. But, I mean, the last time I tried to fry Dave some eggs, I actually cracked the egg and threw it in the stove instead of the skillet. And so we don't do that anymore either.
No. And I think cooking is therapeutic because I'm Italian. Yeah. So I don't, like, if my husband even gets in the kitchen, I'm like, get out of here. This is my domain. He says, I'll be your sous chef. I'm like, that means I'm the boss.
Darlene Check said to me one day, don't you just love to cook? And I was like, nope, not really.
I love to feed people.
Not at all. Well, that leads us to several questions that we've had on leadership, because you're kicking your husband out. You know, if he's the sous chef, then you are in charge.
Yeah, that's right.
So let's tackle some of these. How do we preserve the tenderness that God has placed in us as women, yet still be assertive where we need to and strong women?
That wasn't my question, but that's my question. So I look forward to the answer.
Well, I think that you can be both. You know, being assertive doesn't mean you have to be mean and rough and gruff. Mm-hmm. It just means that you stand up for yourself, and you know, you let your husband know that it's okay if you have an opinion, that you don't have to think like he does all the time. And there's nothing better in a marriage than when you allow each other to be who they are. Mm-hmm. And even my personality is a little sassy, and probably I'll never get over it. And
I Dave hope just, not. We don't want that.
Dave just thinks I'm funny.
Yeah, that's you know? John is. Yeah.
He's accepted me the way I am. He doesn't. I would not say that I am a naturally gentle person, but when I'm with somebody that's hurting or somebody that really needs me to be, mm-hmm. then I can be. Mm-hmm. But I definitely can hold my ground when I need to. I went to my doctor moved out of town. I'd had her for 27 years, so it was very traumatic for me. So I went to have a meet and greet with the guy that's going to be my new doctor. And in the process, I told him about the deal I just went through with my leg. And here's how I said it. I said, well, I recently had a bump in the road. I said, I had a back surgery, got a blood clot. It damaged the nerves in my right leg. I couldn't stand on it. In the process, I broke my left leg, so now I couldn't use either leg. He said, well, I just learned a lot about you. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you call that a bump in the road.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, to me, that's what being strong is. Mm-hmm. It's not that you got to be gruff mm-hmm. with everybody mm-hmm. or be mean to everybody, but you can do what you need to do no matter what the enemy throws at you.
Might I ask a follow-up to that question? Sure. So what is the difference between being assertive, like in your marriage, and controlling? Because sometimes asking for a friend, not myself, a friend might say,
you're asking for a friend.
Yeah, this is not my issue. But my husband and I will have conversations where he feels that I am trying to control him. I am just doing good leadership in the home because things have to get done. So where is the balance of what that looks like? Because you two are, the three of you ladies, strong ladies.
Yeah, well, I tried to control my husband, uh-huh. So and it did not work well for yeah. me. I'm just going to say that was
I tried it too.
Yeah, uh-huh. that was a big fail for me. I think it goes back to saying something the way you'd want to hear it, and I think motive mm-hmm. is huge. So I've learned with my husband if I want to be heard.
Yeah.
He wants to hear it with kindness. Mm-hmm. He wants to hear it with, I believe the best in him. One of my best mm-hmm. approaches I can have with my husband is actually the approach he uses with me. If he says something like, you know, Lisa, that's just not you. Like you that's just so much lower than you. Mm-hmm. Or if I can say something at a not heated moment or not when we're falling asleep at night and say, you know, I know that you probably didn't know this, but that's really important to me that we can get this done.
Yeah.
Like it's troubling me and I really want to think that we're going to move forward with that. Mm-hmm. And then he'll hear me. But if I'm like, you never do this, mm-hmm. I always have mm-hmm. to, then there's right. like the shutdown. Shut
yeah. If I use never and always, it drives Dave nuts.
Yeah.
He's like, do not tell me I always do something and I never do something.
Yeah. It's overcharged.
You're right about that late mm-hmm. at night thing too.
Yeah.
It's good wisdom.
Times for those kind of conversations are not after you've just said, hey, are you awake? You know, that's not.
Yeah.
That's not when you have the big talks.
Yeah.
Erin, I think I have part of an answer that can help you. I think that we have a very difficult time being honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think the question for you to ask in a situation like that, if he says you're trying to control me, mm-hmm. is ask yourself really honestly, is that what I'm trying to do?
That was hard. Yeah. Well, I mean, Joyce that's and I good, both though. Admitted that we've tried to do it. Yeah. We did say that.
Yeah. Oh, I've definitely lived there.
And I do think people pick up motive.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because I can tell him that's not my motive, but it probably is.
Yeah, you have to. Right. The truth will set you free, and you. It's amazing what being honest mm-hmm. with yourself really.
Yeah.
Just gut level honest, and it's painful.
Mm-hmm.
It's painful to admit. I remember when God showed me Dave is not the problem in this house. You are, and I mean, I cried for 3 days. You know, God doesn't cut you any slack. I mean, He showed me what it was like to live with me,
mm-hmm.
and I was manipulative and controlling, and got angry every time I didn't get my way. But you know, that was the beginning of me starting to experience freedoms.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was facing the fact that Dave was not the problem, and you know, I had given him the responsibility to keep me happy,
mm-hmm.
and God said, "Your joy is not his responsibility;
Absolutely.
It's yours." But anyway, we're getting off the track of what your question is. But you know, your husband, if he's being the man he should be, he won't let you control him either.
Mm-hmm. No.
Like Dave won't.
No.
Dave is—he's easygoing. I can do almost anything that I want to do,
mm-hmm.
but if I'm trying to control him, he'll say, "Listen, sweetie."
You're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think what's so beautiful about what you're saying, too, is that it's not just in a marriage. It's in the workplace. It's mm-hmm. with your children. It's in any type of leadership. It has to do with, like you said, mm-hmm. saying things the way that you would receive it, the way that you want it to be said, understanding what somebody else needs, and having a respect for other people the mm-hmm. same way that you have a respect for yourself, that you both are valuable enough to do this in a positive way together.
Well, and leadership should be committed to bringing the best out in the other person.
Yes.
Not besting them in an argument. And I think sometimes we think, I'm the boss of the world. You have to listen to me as leadership. And that's not leadership. Yeah. That's control. And, you know, even with the sous chef thing, I'm going to just be honest with you. He is not skilled in the kitchen yet.
So, Dave can boil a hot dog.
And that's that's important.
Yeah. Dave, so I'm like, I want to be a good meal.
This totally relates to ministry, but I remember when God told me, when you're on this platform, you're in charge. The minute you walk down those steps, you're Dave Meyer's wife.
Mm. Wow.
That's humbling, too.
Yeah. It's like you have to know where you're in charge
mm-hmm.
and where you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, say, like Ginger has a job where she's in charge here all day long.
Yeah.
And, you know, large majority of people in the building here take direction from her.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute she gets home and she's with Tim, she has to make that change.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, she's not being the wife that God wants her to be.
And so, what we've learned through all that, too, because I can go swing one way or the other. Mm-hmm. You know, I can keep making those decisions and trying to tell everybody what to do, tell him what to do all the time. Or I can say, I don't want to make another decision. Do whatever you want, you know.
I don't care.
Yeah, it doesn't matter anymore. And neither one of those are healthy.
No.
It needs to be that place where you're respecting one another and that you are bowing in submission to one another the way that Christ loves the church. And
I'll tell you,
that's
one trick
a big question
to it,
for women.
Stay married so long, like us, we've been married 56 years in January. You get to the point where you don't care. It's like,
well, I don't even remember what we fought about.
I love that.
Yeah, we don't really remember what we even fought about.
No, Dave and I rarely ever fight or even really have that many disagreements because he pretty much does what he wants to and I do what I want to. And, you know, like Dave likes to watch Hallmark and I like mysteries. And so, you know, I'm like, okay, I'll go watch my TV and you watch yours.
Well, and we have two alphas in our house. So we definitely have a little bit of a different, and I've learned if I take it to a level 9, John's going to take it to a 10.
Right.
So I have to always bring it down to a 3, and then I can navigate it with at a 4. And I just think thinking, if I want to move forward and not just be right, then I'm going to have to be rightly related. And mm-hmm. I love what you said, because my husband can go out and travel and speak, but he doesn't care about how anybody else interacts with him. He cares about how I interact with him.